You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, our Detroit Lions preview podcast. Every week we come here. I was going to say every Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday, but let's just say late in the week. We come here and help preview the Lions' upcoming game. My name is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the co-host of First Bite and the editor-in-chief over at Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online on Twitter. With me, as always, my co-host, Ryan Matthews, senior editor of Pride of Detroit, at Ryan_POD on Twitter. Ryan, I am going to need you to supervise me during this podcast.
Why do you say that?
Because if I'm not held in check, this will become a 30-minute podcast about Matthew Stafford.
All right. Yeah. No, that was understood. Yeah. The one thing that we want to do before we start this podcast is definitely say that we are not sponsored by Xfinity because they suck.
True. Okay. That is why we're recording this on a Friday. Hopefully you get to listen to it before the game. I know it's going to be a quick turnaround for the podcast listeners, but our live audience gets to watch us at least before we head off. And obviously we had to do it before the weekend because one of us might be heading to Los Angeles for the game. I won't point fingers.
Lucky you.
Anyways, let's get to it. Our preview podcast, we always bring in a special guest to help give us a perspective from the other side. This week is no exception. We've got a great guest, Robert Finn, the writer for Turf Show Times, our SB Nation friends over there, for the Los Angeles Rams, at Robert Finn is me on Twitter. Robert, thanks for joining us, man. And thank you most of all for your patience after we postponed this thing like three times.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. And listen, we're going to start here, Ryan. So allow me at least one or two questions here, but we have to start with Matthew Stafford. Does he miss us? Has he ever mentioned my name? No. Okay. We won't go down that road. Tell us why he's been so good in LA, besides all the reasons that maybe I already knew.
Yeah. So, I think with Stafford being in LA, it's just the perfect blend, right, of McVay's offensive genius, as they say, and Stafford's ability to basically hit all the throws. The nice thing as a Rams fan, and thank you for those of you in Detroit for this, we don't have to worry about the turnovers quite as much, which is kind of nice. He knows how to read a defense, which is a nice change. And so it kind of gives us a little bit of flexibility there in terms of some of the play calling, which we're starting to see as the offense is getting a little bit more in sync.
That felt like some extra twisting of the knife there, Robert.
Maybe a little bit.
I'm bleeding. Robert, can you do us a favor and can you say some nice things about Jared Goff?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Jared Goff, and I'm
why?
Why? Well, he's getting a lot of. I mean, the poor guy has been killed in social media the past week, and it's kind of tough for me to see. And a lot of that's because he's a big part of the reason why the Rams are relevant again. I mean, yes, McVay brought in a whole new system, but I mean, Goff played a part in that, right? So they wouldn't have been there without that entire team being in place. And so he was a part of that. So there's some of that, I guess, warm feeling there with him. But, you know, he's not playing bad football. And I would point to some of the comments that Kurt Warner made over the week, stating that basically it's just not being schemed for his strengths. He's not the quarterback that's going to put you on his back and lead you to victory on his own. Definitely needs to be game planned correctly. I'm sure Dan Campbell will get there with him, but just not there yet. He's a good quarterback. He has the ability to do it. We've seen that in the past.
What specifically did kind of work for him? Because, I mean, obviously the Lions are in a tough position here with not a great receiving core, and a lot of these games are falling behind, so they have to have him throw it 40 times a game, and I don't think anybody wants that. But no. What sort of positions can they put him in where he – has an opportunity to succeed?
Lions have to run that football better. Yeah. They have to do that. Have to get DeAndre Swift moving. He's had some nice touches. I know he's battled that groin injury throughout the year. So it's kind of made it tough from that perspective, but if they can get that ground game going, I think that's going to be Jared Goff's best friend moving forward.
So you're telling me, Robert, that the Lions need their own version of Todd Gurley in order for Jared Goff to be successful.
You know, every team needs their own version of Todd Gurley.
2018 Todd Gurley, to be clear.
Yes.
I want to go back to Stafford for a second. Ryan, I promise this is the last one, and I might break that promise.
I doubt it.
what has surprised you most? Because obviously, like, a lot of Lions fans aren't very surprised by what they're seeing. A lot of them knew if they could get him in the right system, get him with the best supporting cast, get him with the defense, he'll shine. Is there anything, you know, obviously I'm sure you did a ton of research once he became a Los Angeles Ryan, but is there anything even after that has surprised you in these first 6 weeks?
Not from Stafford necessarily. He's been better than advertised. We knew we were getting a great quarterback when he was brought in, and he's certainly played like that. I mean, his numbers are kind of lights out. Six games, right? So you got to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But on the other hand, it's six games. He still hasn't learned the full range of what this offense can do. He really hasn't got on the same page, I think, fully with all the receivers. And we've kind of seen bits and pieces of that throughout the year. But the thing that surprised me the most, though, is the play calling. We're not seeing as much play action pass that we've seen in the past. And I think that speaks to that quarterback change.
I'm going to surprise Jeremy, and there's one more thing I want to ask about Matthew Stafford, but there's a little bit of a twist to it. How has Matthew Stafford unlocked Cooper Kupp? Like, because that guy is setting the world on fire.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. You would think that at some point the opposing teams would learn to cover him. I think having so many options at the receiving position doesn't hurt, but they have this crazy rapport, and who knows where it came from, but those two put together on the same football field just looks unstoppable right now.
Let's jump a little bit deeper into the Rams offense, because I look at it on paper and I don't see a weakness anywhere. Maybe you being a little bit closer to the team can show me something, but is there anything that has effectively slowed them down even for like a quarter?
You know, it's really just been themselves, right? They've kind of gotten their own way. A few times throughout the year, we saw that in the Indy game with some of the turnovers. The first quarter of the Giants game, I think, is a good example too, of just maybe still working through a little bit of getting to know one another from an offensive perspective. That seems to be the only thing slowing them down. And as a Rams fan, that's great to see, because again, we're only six games in, and they have potential to get better, which is kind of scary, I think.
And we kind of alluded to it at the top, talking about, you know, how effective Jared Goff was with Todd Gurley, you know, taking the rock and running the football, and how effective the Rams offense was when they were running the football. And the thing when Matthew Stafford was here in Detroit, it was, I mean, could you just imagine this guy with a running game? And He's been incredible without much of a running game. I mean, do the Rams have the possibility of, you know, improving their run game from where they are right now with Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel? Do you see that offense having another level to it?
I do. And, you know, I think the only weakness really in the Rams running game right now is Sean McVay's reluctance to commit to it. We've seen them be able to run the ball effectively, especially in the game against Seattle, where we saw a nice mix of Henderson and Michelle. I think we kind of unlocked that and saw it again against the Giants. And if they can do that, right, if McVay just commits to running that football, we can see some of those numbers go in the right direction from a running game perspective. I think McVay would just throw that football every single time out the gate if he possibly could.
And why wouldn't you when you have Matthew Stafford?
Right. Exactly.
Right, Jeremy?
Yes. Yeah. And one of the things I saw in my research is, you know, those neutral downs, those neutral down in distance and neutral times in the game when you're not either playing behind by a lot or playing ahead a lot. The Rams, I think, are top six in passing percentage on those downs. And so that's all I ever wanted with Matthew Stafford. And we never really seemed to get it. We got these coaches stuck in the 1980s that want to run the ball like crazy. Let's dive even deeper here. Let's talk about the offensive line, because, you know, I can't say that I've seen a ton of the offensive line play, but you look at the PFF scores and it's dark green across the board because everyone seems to be killing it. Is there a chink to the armor? Is there a weak area where at least a guy is like, maybe this guy can get beat? Because, you know, as the adage goes, you know, your offensive line is only as strong as your weakest part. So what is the Rams' weakest part, and is it really even weak?
You know, when it comes to that offensive line, it's tough to say because I don't think they really have one. That offensive line has performed better than I expected coming into the season, especially at that center position. That was the question mark coming in. Can Brian Allen hold up, you know, against some of the better defensive lines? And he's done that. He really has. He looked really good or has looked really good throughout the past 6 weeks. So, and not for nothing, but that consistency, I mean, they're not being taken off the field at all. That's pretty much the same five guys that starts the game, finishes the game. The only real exception to that was last week against the Giants. Whitworth was taken out, not due to injury, but I mean, you know, give somebody else a chance, for crying out loud.
And if there is one other position that I'm kind of like uber interested in, because Matthew Stafford had his fair share of tight ends while he was here. He had Brandon Pettigrew. He had TJ Hockenson. He had multiple guys here. You know, Tyler Higbee and this group of tight ends that the Rams have, what kind of rapport has Stafford established with his tight ends? And does it seem like that's a point of the offense that could stand to improve?
Yeah. And he's thrown a little bit more to Tyler Higbee, which is kind of nice, right? We're starting to see that rapport develop a little bit more.
Cause he always kind of had that potential, right?
Yeah. We've seen those games, those flashes here and there. We saw a couple last year at the end of 2019 as well, when he had just, it felt like a million yards, you know, in just four games. But so he has the ability to do that. A lot of with the Rams too, is they've been playing a lot more two tight end sets this year than we saw the past couple of seasons, but for whatever reason, he's not distributing the ball to the tight ends. I think Johnny Munt prior to his injury only had one reception coming in. So I don't think it's a matter of, I mean, obviously the ability's there for Tyler Higbee, right? We've seen it come from him, with him, but it's just a matter of establishing that rapport with that tight end. That's what I think. That's what I'm seeing on the field. Just not enough. There's only one football, right? You can only throw it to one person at a time. So
I just want to shout out Ryan for listing all of the Lions tight ends during Matthew Stafford's reign and staying away from a certain person who is not Aaron Donald. Let's just say,
hey, do you think that was intentional?
Yeah, I do.
I have no tongue.
before we head out to our first break here, I want to just ask you, because I mean, it sounds to me like the Rams offense is perfect. If you were a defensive coordinator, what is your game plan then against this? Is it, you know, play too high safety and just try to like don't let him beat you deep, because obviously the Rams can beat you deep. They have the most 40 plus yard plays in the passing game. So is it play deep and just keep everything in front of you and let them chip away at you and hope maybe a holding call or a fumble or an interception ends the drive luckily? Or are you just like, let's fire away at Matthew Stafford, send blitzes and hope that something good happens there?
You know, it's a pick your poison type of situation, because with those Rams receivers, like you said, they can get on you. They can get over that defense. And we've seen that throughout the year, like you said, with those 40 plus yard throws. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, clearly if I did, I'd probably, you know, be a much better defensive coordinator than I am today. But for me, I don't know. I would go at Matthew Stafford, I think, a little bit more than what teams maybe have. Maybe they do have a little bit of fear of that long pass, but got to rush that decision-making, I think, would be the only thing, right? So,
yeah, Matthew Stafford with time is not good news for anybody. And yeah, I mean, I guess there's also kind of like, if you're going to go down, you might as well go down swinging, right? Like, don't just let them passively beat you up 15 yards at a time, right?
Well, and it just feels like he's going to hit that big play, yeah. Right? There's going to be one or two of those a game. You just got to kind of give them that. If you can just limit the big plays that they're hitting on you, and I think pressure would probably be the best way to do that.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to hopefully talk about something at least a little less depressing, and that's the Rams defense. Unfortunately, that also means we probably have to talk about the Lions offense, which is a little depressing. But stick with us. We'll have that, predictions, and more when we come back on First Bite.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to First Bite. Talking with Robert Finn of Turf Show Times about Lions Rams week 7 this Sunday at SoFi Stadium. Let's get into the Rams defense. So we know Aaron Donald. We know Jalen Ramsey. Who else do we have to worry about, Robert? Is that two enough? I feel like that two might honestly be enough, but is there anybody else that Lions fans should be like, ooh, this guy could be a problem?
You would think that would be enough, right? With just Donald and Ramsey, but no, oh no. Leonard Floyd, I like to see him coming on the past couple of games. He had a nice game against Seattle again, getting that pressure against the Giants in week 6. It was kind of nice to see. Sebastian Joseph Day, though, he's kind of a name that goes under the radar, I think, a little bit, but he has really stepped it up this season, and which is nice to see, because he's kind of the run stopper since Brockers is gone. Michael Brockers is now gone. He had to be the guy to step it up, and he's done a great job. So I think he's the name really to look out for.
You know, looking at the snap distribution for the safeties, you know, the Rams had a big undertaking this offseason, replacing John Johnson III. And it looks like they've relied really heavily on two guys, Jordan Fuller and Taylor Rapp. Talk about what they've been able to do this season and how well have those two been able to, you know, fill the void of losing a guy who is one of the best safeties in the NFL.
Yeah. And that was the big question coming in, right? Because, Johnny Johnson III was the play caller too, if I'm not mistaken, on last year's defense. So, played a very critical role. So big loss. Obviously, you lose somebody like that. Jordan Fuller has done a great job, I think, at that safety position. Taylor Rapp is the one that has kind of had an up and down time with the Rams. Big game against the Giants, but before that, he seemed to be the weak link in that secondary. So hopefully we can see him continue to grow and develop in that role of safety and bring more of what we saw against the Giants than what we've seen previously.
Yeah, because I guess my follow-up question to that is, you know, looking at these two guys, Rapp has allowed, you know, 15 catches on 24 targets. Fuller has allowed 18 catches on 21 targets. Do we think that the Rams, if we're going to find something this weekend that the Rams are vulnerable with, is it going to be TJ Hockenson? Have they been vulnerable against tight ends? Because that's really the only chance that the Lions have at doing anything on offense.
Right. Well, and that's you just kind of gave it away, right? That's the whole offensive scheme for the Giants is get the ball to Hockenson. That would be their best chance because Rapp has struggled in that pass game. He's struggled in the pass game since he's come to Los Angeles. So he's going to be the guy to look out for. But what we've seen with him too a lot this season and bringing him down to the box and pressuring that quarterback. And we know that Jared Goff does not respond well to pressure. So
he does not.
That's where Rapp is really going to, I think, make a difference in this game.
We talked about losing John Johnson. We talked about losing Michael Brockers, but I think the biggest piece that this defense lost was press conference superstar Brandon Staley. How much different does the defense look in terms of schematically? And then do you think this, we're only 6 weeks into the season. The Rams defense isn't quite what it was, but it certainly isn't bad. Do you think that's just getting used to the new scheme or is it just, you know, maybe they lost a little bit?
I mean, it's a little bit of both, right? Yeah. They have a new defensive coordinator coming in. We talked about them losing Johnny Johnson. Troy Hill was another loss they took. Morgan Fox was one that they liked. He played a big role in that defense last year too. But I think just from what I've seen watching the games, a lot of it's schematics because they're not pressing the receivers anymore. Bring back that press coverage because that soft coverage drives us nuts. Those slow or short passes, can really, really drive a fan crazy when you're just like, get the football back to Matthew Stafford so he can continue to throw it.
Short passes, you say? Interesting. Interesting. As I stroke my non-existent beard. Mm-hmm. You okay over there, Ryan? What is that?
It's just pain, man. It just hurts.
Wait, you just said they're vulnerable short passes. This is, Lions win. That's all they do.
I wonder how sustainable that is, Jeremy.
Before we get into our predictions, I want to ask your thoughts on Aubrey Pleasant because in training camp, that dude was a superstar. And honestly, like outside of the national thing that happened with Jeff Okuda and you know, the poor optics of that. Like, I think the Lions secondary, given all of their shortcomings talent wise, you know, a bunch of rookies and undrafted guys playing right now, he's done actually a pretty darn good job. So is he a guy that left Los Angeles on just as high of terms? And what were your feelings when he left, I guess?
Sadness for one, nothing against Raheem Morris, but there was a lot of us in Rams fandom that wanted to see Aubrey Pleasant become the new defensive coordinator. I think that really would have been a natural, nice transition from Brandon Staley because yes, Staley was only there for 1 year, but having learned that system could run it, I think pretty close. It would have been a huge step down. That's a big loss for the Rams. It's a big gain for the Lions. And I think he's just going to make that secondary better over the course of the year. He has already. Yeah. And I think he'll just continue to do that. Big loss for the Rams for him.
I have one last player to check in on, Jeremy, before we get on predictions.
Sure.
A'shaun Robinson. I know he's a I know he's a rotational player, but I mean, we're talking about a former second round pick who a lot of us had very high aspirations for. Matt Patricia, he was either loved or in the doghouse. It really depended on the week. What has A'shaun Robinson been able to do over in LA?
He's a real streaky player, right? He'll just show just flashes of brilliance one moment, and then just where did he go the next? We're seeing him play fewer snaps over the course of the past few weeks. And a lot of that is because of that reason. He doesn't bring that consistency. So great player when he brings it, but just doesn't do it enough.
Much more of the same, sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Actually, before we get into predictions, let's go broader scope here. Like the Lions are basically Rams East in a lot of ways. One of those ways is Brad Holmes and Ray Agnew. I know forming an opinion on guys who are kind of in the background and aren't necessarily responsible directly for some decisions are hard to evaluate. But was there a sense of loss when those two were hired by the Lions too, or was it just kind of like, the front office is still mostly there, we're fine?
Yeah, there's some of that. I don't think a lot of people pay attention to the front office losses. So, but one thing that you really can't, I think, give them enough credit for is some of those later drafts picks, right, that have really played out for the Rams or panned out for the Rams, and they played a big part in that. So we'll see as the seasons go on what type of impact that has.
I'm curious what Lions fans are going to think about Brad Holmes at the end of the season, because I feel like the tide's turning a little bit, and it's mostly golf related, but you know, he was notoriously one of the people pounding the table for the Rams to draft Goff, and so him bringing him here with a big contract and not working out so far, a lot of people are worried that maybe his quarterback evaluations aren't where it needs to be. But, you know, it sounds, at least based on your interpretations, that Goff is probably a better quarterback than Lions fans are currently giving him.
Yes. Yes, he is. He is. It's look, man. I mean, and no offense to Lions fans or anybody listening, but they're just a bad team. Just all around. Right. So, yes, Goff isn't playing great, but he's not playing bad football either. You got exactly what you were seeing from him. So.
Fair enough. I mean, he could do more. He could do like Dan Campbell has,
like Campbell
said, like he needs to do more. He needs to do more. I think we can all agree with that. And hopefully that doesn't hurt his feelings, which actually that was going to be another question I asked you. So I heard from a couple Rams people that the few times that Sean McVay went public with some of the things about Jared Goff, about his play, he actually turned around and played particularly well. Is that something that you notice as well? Is maybe Jared Goff kind of, you know, responds to little fire beneath him?
Yeah. I mean, there's been some question about his grit over the course of the past week, right? Not just from Dan Campbell either, but he's responded well. And we saw that especially towards the end of last season when there was the pitchforks were out. They just wanted to, fans were ready to run him out of LA sooner rather than later. They're calling for John Wolford to start, for crying out loud. So, and you know, Goff came in to win that playoff game against the Seahawks with a broken finger and showed an awful lot of toughness, awful lot of grit. So hopefully for the Lions, he does turn that around, just not this week.
Fair enough. John Wolford, by the way, he is the Rams version of David Blough. Just to interpret that for Lions fans.
Well, no disrespect to Wolford, you know, but he's not a starting quarterback in this league. Let's just, you know,
call it. Call spade a spade. Exactly.
Right.
All right. Let's go to our prediction segment, which we call the one thing we think we know. Does not have to be a record prediction, does not have to be a winner prediction. It can be a prediction about any aspect of the game that you're pretty sure is going to happen, or if you want to go bold, go bold. Ryan, I'm fearing going to you first this week again because of what happened last week, but I'm confident that you'll be able to rebound and actually give us a prediction this week.
That's weird, because at the end of all of it, I said Joe Burrow will have 3 passing touchdowns. And how many passing touchdowns did Joe Burrow have last week?
I forgot that you actually eventually gave us a prediction.
3. Oh, okay. All right. So one of us pays attention on this podcast. So anyways.
All right. What's your Lego analogy this week?
My Lego analogy is that you can step on a brick. Here's what I'm predicting this week. The odds are for Matthew Stafford's longest completion to be over 40 and a half yards.
Okay.
It's going to be over. Matthew Stafford I have a feeling that there's going to be a play where the Rams are starting from their own 25 yard line. And maybe it's a second and 10 after one incomplete pass. And it's just going to be Cooper Kupp. And it's just going to be Cooper Kupp just running
75-yard touchdown
and running. And it's going to be a touchdown. And I don't really want to predict any more pain. So that's my prediction, is that Matthew Stafford will have a completion longer than 40 and a half yards.
Fair enough. For more pain, let's go to Robert. Robert, what is the one thing you think you know about Lions Rams?
You know, first of all, Ryan, I just want to say I hope you're correct on that. I hope that prediction comes true. I'm going a little bit bolder, though. I'm not predicting the Lions to win. In fact, quite the opposite. But what I will say is that I'm going to predict that Jared Goff throws for 3 touchdowns. So not exactly.
If only the people that are listening to this podcast could see our faces right now.
I'm not saying it's guaranteed to happen, but he knows that stadium, knows that crowd, knows that defense, knows what Sean McVay likes to do. So I think that gives him an advantage. So 3 touchdowns, almost stealing Ryan's prediction from last week.
Can I ask a follow-up?
I do it.
Do pick 6 count?
You know what? I wasn't thinking that, but you know what? Yes. I mean, okay. Touchdowns to the other team. We'll take it.
All right. The one thing I think I know, and I think I'm going to go a little bold here, and I don't know if I actually believe it, but it's also a fun prediction. We will see both backup quarterbacks in this game. Matthew Stafford will not have to play in the fourth quarter, and at some point, it's going to be irresponsible to trot Jared Goff out there, even though they did it late in last week's game when they probably shouldn't have. So both backup quarterbacks, we're going to see. Is it still Wolford over there? I didn't even check.
Yeah.
Wolford versus Blau, baby. Fourth quarter, you know, coming what? Your way.
2022 Super Bowl right there. No, they're both in the NFC. You know what? That's such an NFC championship game. That's what I meant.
Absolutely. All right. That'll do it for this week's episode. Before we head out, Robert, I want to give you kind of the podium here to promote your stuff. Anything we might want to watch or read or whatever over at Turf Show Times, and where they can find you.
Yeah. Just turfshowtimes.com for all your Los Angeles related Los Angeles Rams. I can't even say it. Los Angeles Rams related writing. And that's a lot harder to say than I thought in my head. And if you're unfortunate enough, you can also follow me on Twitter at Robert Finn is me. I don't know if it's all that entertaining, but you know what? I try to have some fun with it anyway.
Perfect. And we're going to try to have fun this week. It might not be easy for us. Probably going to be pretty easy for you, Robert. But we will be, I won't be part of the post game show because I will be at the Lions game and it'll be tough for me to watch and whatever. And I'm just saying it so I can rub it in Ryan's face again, but be sure to watch him on the post game podcast right here on Twitch, twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit Live. And maybe you'll get a little extra from me and the crew that are at LA. But until then, thank you for joining us today. We will talk to you again soon. It's chaos. Be kind.
I'm getting fired this week.
To-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.